Turn with me this morning, book of Joel, second chapter. I kind of just looked this morning at the progression of the gospel. In the warning that comes with it, and the perseverance that comes with it. Only those going to be saved that persevere until the end, isn't it? Of course, that's not the work of man, work of the Lord. He's going to save his people. We just sang that song, you know. He's going to be God and we're going to be his people. That was promised from the very beginning, wasn't it? I don't know exactly where to start here. 21st verse, I guess. He said, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth their fruit, the fig tree and vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion." Now we're going to bring this down a little finer point here. It's just certain people. The rest of them ought to be fearful. But Zion, that's the main people, and that's what the scripture is addressed to. All of it. I think that's a great mistake among the religious people of the world today is try to apply this gospel to every man. It's good for every man, but it isn't written to every man. It's written to the people of God, those of Zion. "And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Well, we look around us here and we're in this dry spell. But it's still a sure thing, and he wasn't talking here about raindrops from heaven. He is talking about spiritual blessings. So we're going to get that former and latter rain if we be of Zion. "Then the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Well, he sent all these things after former and latter rain and eat all of it up, didn't he? But still, people of God are going to be supplied. They're not going to go to begging. They may beg for some food for this old body. I've heard it taught that, well, the people of God are not going to ever be hungry. But that's not truth about it. They go hungry. But they're still going to be supplied with those things that are necessary to save the soul. Lord's going to feed them. That's just a little sideline there. "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of Lord come. Part of these things that we're seeing here definitely have been fulfilled. Some of them have not. You go to Mark the 13th chapter sometime, read what the Lord had himself say about these things, and then he's coming back. But just these last, in this 31st verse is all he mentions there. This last happening, this coming. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord has said. And in the remnant, whom the Lord shall call. That's who this word is written to. And all this prophecy up till that last fulfillment has happened. And when that happens, it seems like it's going to be a sudden thing. Yes. Lord's coming back. Now, what he talks about over in Mark, he's talking about even the heavens being shaken. And then, he's coming back. Something else I'd have you notice as we read these things, that he never does talk about his people being spared any of these things. And that's part of the Christian life, is he's not going to be spared these things. He's going to be tried and made true and holy and then acceptable with the Lord. It won't be his holiness. Be that of God. Right. Now over in the book of Acts, the second chapter, I suppose the 16th verse, he said, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In other words, this is happening right now. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now some of them are going to be called to the service of the Lord, and others, this same spirit, you understand, is a consuming fire. It's going to devour. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, I think we can't make a division here necessarily in any period that the Spirit is not here. Throughout all time, the Spirit has dealt with man. But it's going to deal with man more specifically or more thoroughly in these last days. What the scripture talking about the last days from the first coming of Jesus Christ until the last. But we can't make a division there. That's one error that people have tried to make all over the years, is make a division. Say, well, it's the Old Testament and the New Testament and this, that other period. They can't call it exactly, but we're now in a period of grace. But there never has been a period that wasn't of grace. Or it would have ended long ago. It would have been over. The heavens would have been shaken already. You know, in this strange thing, you can tell a man there's 3 million stars up there and he'll believe it. But you tell him that the Lord is sovereign, and he operates in his own will, that's a whole lot simpler. He'll fight you over that. He said, and on my servants, and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood, and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, that before that great and terrible, notable day of Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it isn't any different, is it? It's always been that way. It's going to be, I believe, a greater dealing, though, especially in a broader sense. Of spirit being poured out upon his people. Well, one thing's not going to deal with old spiritual Israel any longer. He's going to deal with the whole world to pull his people out. That's the true Israel of God, and that's where he's going to work. And that's the people that's going to call upon his name. Those that he has sent this gospel to. Now in the 15th chapter of this same book, Book of Acts, I guess the 13th verse, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me, Simeon, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them people for his name. Now he's talking about this period that we have seen over in the book of Joel and earlier in this second chapter of book of Acts. Now he's going to take out people from all the people of the world. And to this agree the words of the prophets, it is as it is written. After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now, I tell you for sure, this morning that this is not talking about the Lord coming back building in tabernacle. We'll see that a little further later. But he is building a whole different tabernacle than most people think of. This is the place where his people meet with him. They're going to tabernacle with him. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. Know unto God, known unto God, are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles or turn to God. Now he's talking about we don't want to trouble them, we don't want to burden them, we don't want to put any burden on them that they can't handle. And those things are gone. That old temple's gone. All the vessels are gone. The Ark of the Covenant's gone. All those things been done away with. And we're coming to the age now where prophecy also is fixing to be done away with. We don't need any more prophecy. Lord has fulfilled himself. most all of the prophecy that was given to the prophets of old. There's a Savior coming. That's the main prophecy. And He's going to save His people. They're going to be His people, and He's going to be their God. All the prophecy is wrapped up in that, that a Savior is coming, and He's going to save His people. Over in the 1 Peter, in the first chapter, in verse 3, I believe, He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is the fulfillment of most of the prophecy. He said, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Well, that's where we're at, isn't it? And that's what's being revealed. What's being revealed? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the promise fulfilled that He's going to save His people. He said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if may be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now, in my mind, you try to follow this. I don't think He's really talking here necessarily about the second coming of Christ. Who does He appear to? All His people. Certainly it has something to do with His second coming also. They're going to be tried and true. And when He comes back, they're going to be a holy nation. They're going to be looking for His coming. He said, "Whom not having not seen, ye love." That's the reason I say He's not necessarily talking here about His second coming. He's talking about what you see. How are you going to see it? By the outpouring of that Holy Spirit that comes. Christ said, "I'm going away. But when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter." What's He going to do? Going to teach you all things that's necessary. No more prophecy. I'm going to teach you what is. If what is now. "Whom not having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Now, I told you, be careful, don't split the grace. He's just talking about this grace that has come in this time unto you. It hadn't come unto you Gentiles until now. After the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and death, burial, and resurrection, it hadn't come to you, but now it has. He said, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's when Jesus our Lord was glorified. Yeah, when he laid down his life and picked it up again. Said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He was glorified. The glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things, talking about the prophets, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with. Here's that Comforter has come with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, we're blessed, aren't we? You know, you think about it, everybody wants a little angel on the dash. Oh, we above him angel. He said, wherefore, here's warning, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's still talking about seeing Christ revealed. You don't see him, but you see him. He's always there. How do you see him? By the revelation of the Holy Ghost. The gospel doesn't have any power at all outside of the presence of the Holy Ghost. Tell a man, we'll read your Bible. Yeah, that's good. He'll give you some good moral character. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't accompany it, won't do anything. He said, as obedient children, this is the way you do it, not a passion in yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Well, Holy Spirit come, hadn't it, and teaches us all things. That takes away ignorance. He said, but as he which hath called you his holy seat, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning, here in fear. Well, I said that I'd go to that church, Pilgrim's Rest, if I was around there one Sunday, just see what that man had to say. That's what he's talking about here. He said, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. We are in the last time. He said, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him the glory? What do we need to see? that glory. Yeah, the glory. The glory that's going to be revealed to the Gentile people in the last time. That he's going to call out, and afterwards the glory. That your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. John speaks a whole lot about that. Do you love the brethren? That's a judgment call there. How do you know? How do you know? John said, do you love the brethren? See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then it chunks this little bit in there. All for all flesh is his grace. And all the glory of a man, what glory? Glory of a man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word that was prophesied from the very beginning, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Well, so there's a lot of warning here. Do this. Follow after Christ. And all these things, I keep saying, have been fulfilled up to this time, except for the shaking, the last shaking, if not only earth, but of heaven. And that's where this is that terrible day. And it doesn't talk about but one day, and you can't make it 1,000 years, I don't care how hard you try in this scripture, it won't come out. It won't work out. The rapture, it better be now. Folks better not be waiting on some kind of jerking up. It's going to be shaking down. The whole heavens are going to be shook. And all earth. And what's going to remain? The Word. Same Word. And what is that Word? It's the Lord Himself. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the Word. Any other word outside of that doesn't have any power. It's just another word. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, first chapter. Verse 3, we'll begin there. Oh, verse 2, we give thanks, God, always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. And this is not going to end. with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God were spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know what wrath he's talking about here? That very end, when he's going to come as a consuming fire and cleanse everything in this world. But his people, the warning is here, wait. Wait. It's coming, it's sure. But you're not going to be jerked out of anything tribulation. It's going to try your faith. That's what's going to make you steadfast. What's going to make you persevere is the trying that the Lord Jesus Christ brings upon his people. Or he's going to send the canker worm, eat it up. But he's still going to feed his people. Paul was talking earlier about people just, you know, can't lay things down. They got to have everything. Gather the manna 6 days. On the seventh day, rest. If you gather, go out there and try to gather old manna on the seventh day, you know what's going to happen to it. Don't you? Worms going to get in it and eat it up anyway. So it won't do you one bit of good to try to gather some more on the seventh.
Don't believe as the days go on, as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord. Brother Bruce said he went through the scripture the other day and pulled up on his, I don't know what he used, e-sword?
E-sword.
Okay. Pulled up on there all of the scripture references had to do with the day of the Lord. And I think he was surprised at what he found. But we are in the last time. There's no doubt about that. The scripture is a very explicit that the last times began with the Lord Jesus, coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to get really, really, really technical about it, I think we could say it began with John the Baptist. But it for sure it began at least with the Lord Jesus Christ, with his birth upon this earth. But there is going to be a day of the Lord. This is one day. It's not a 24-hour day. We don't know exactly how long it's going to be. We do know that the apostle said he's going to cut it short in righteousness, don't we? But we are also told over and over again that as time progresses in these last times, it's going to get worse and worse. One of the most, clear scriptures is just simply says that the evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, and we're told, too, that there's going to be a falling away, where men are going to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll be turned away from the truth. We're told that these last days shall be perilous times, and all the things that's going to accompany that's going to make it perilous time. So we know all of these things are so, but at the same time, and that's one of the things I've been trying to get across in our study of this book of Habakkuk, at the same time, God is going to establish his people. There's going to be a lot of correction. because it's necessary. It's going to have to be. But God is going to pour out His Spirit upon His people. Not going to be it's not going to be on the world in general. But He is going to pour it out upon His people. I've remarked about that before in the, I believe the 17th verse of that second chapter of Joel. He says, spare thy people. It's always struck me, he doesn't say save thy people, he says spare thy people. And I've often referred to Zephaniah chapter 3, especially verses 8 through 12, but it's very clear to me that God is going to do a great and wonderful work in these last days, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be, as we might say, Sunday school picnic. It is going to be a trying and a shaking. Again, we've tried to emphasize that. It's not just the earth only, but it's the heavens also. We've never seen that. We've seen the earth shake, but we've never seen the heavens shaken. But it's going to be that. But, again, all of that comes to back to this, and we go back to the book of Daniel, in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. I've contemplated this, what this means many times, and I don't know that I have a real handle on it yet, but I do know it means that God is going to strengthen His people to meet and does strengthen His people to meet those things that are necessary. He will not lay upon us what? More than we're able to bear. But in that 11th chapter of Daniel, one of the things that he says in verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong. And then he says, and do exploits. That's a strong word, you know. Exploits. That's kind of above and beyond the call of duty, isn't it? And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Now that's the part there that really scares me. The rest of it, you know, I know that, you know, if God doesn't uphold, we'll fall, but if He does uphold, we will stand. But, you know, this thing about flatteries, that bothers me. We can flatter ourselves, or other people can flatter us, but that's vanity, isn't it? I kind of connect those kind of scriptures back to the 25th chapter of Matthew in the parable of the virgins, because there's 10 virgins there. They're all virgins. But 5 of them have oil in their lamp, which to me indicates they have the Spirit of the Lord. And 5 of them, they don't have any oil. Which indicates to me that they know all the doctrines. They've got all their, you know, their I's dotted and their T's crossed as far as the doctrine is concerned up here. but they don't have any spirit down here. And guess what? When the Lord comes, those that have oil in their lamps go in unto Him, and the door is shut. I believe that within, first of all, I believe that what we know today as the Sovereign Grace Movement has been and is the reviving of the Church of God in these very last days. But I believe there's a lot of people that are clinging to us with flatteries. That's a serious thing. Well, I didn't mean to preach a sermon up here, but right now, anyway. But anyway, this something that provoked, JT's thoughts provoked in there, so hopefully it's good.